It is a privilege today to greet and welcome you, home folks and guests, as we gather to celebrate the dedication of our new Allen organ to the glory of God and in support of the praises of God's people. This Allen protege organ is a grand addition to the musical life of our congregation, and it underscores our commitment to music, instrumental and vocal, and our worship, which we offer to God. This day is also due to God's gracious love in and through the love and generosity of Evelyn J. Hooper. We are truly indebted and grateful to Evelyn for providing our new organ, which will enhance our worship for decades to come. The plaque on the organ reads, "Given to the glory of God and in memory of Vesta M. Hooper, Mother, Argyle H. Walker, Sister, by Evelyn J. Hooper, December 2013. We chose December 2013 because that is when the organ was actually placed in our sanctuary to enhance our worship. Today I also want to recognize members of Evelyn's family who are present with us. Debbie Walker Werner, her niece, and her husband Joey. And Debbie's father, Thomas Walker Jr., if you all would please stand. Thank you so much for being here today. We are very happy to have you with us today and to have you share on Evelyn's behalf in this wonderful day and occasion. Thank you so much. It is also a delight to welcome Ms. Carolyn Hamlin, as she shares her wonderful musical gifts with us today. Carolyn is a composer and an organist extraordinaire. She is also a classmate of Gloria Hooper's at North Greenville College just a few years ago. Carolyn is not only a music graduate of North Greenville, she has studied extensively. She has played in churches and cathedrals all across the country. She's a composer. As you can see from her brief bio, she is also has a website dedicated to her compositions as well. Carolyn gives many seminars and concerts for Baptist conventions all across the country as well, and for Allen organ dealers, and teaches seminars on how to play these organs to their capacity, and we welcome her today. Beginning today, this organ is here also to lift us up in worship, in our response to the one who so graciously came and continues to come, in Jesus our Christ. Martin Luther once said, "Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world." May our worship together emulate the treasures of word and music and song. And if you would, please join me as we read responsively our litany of dedication for our new Allen organ found in your bulletin. This is the time for celebration. To the glory of God who gives all goodness and beauty, the one who gives the skills of mind and hands, we thank you, O Lord. In and through our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who along with the Father and the Holy Spirit inspires us to offer the best in music and song for His praise and glory, we dedicate this organ to you, O God. As we are guided by the Holy Spirit in the worship of God, and as we gain understanding of truth and beauty in word and song, we dedicate our worship to you, to inspire devotion in those who gather in this sanctuary, assisted in divine worship in spirit and truth, and to inspire resolve to do God's will in the world by the sacred music flowing from this beautiful instrument. We dedicate this organ to you, O God. To assist the message shared in song by choirs dedicated to bringing beauty through spiritual music, We dedicate our musicians to you, O Lord, to bring comfort to the sorrowful and cheer to the faint, to bring purity and peace into worshipers' hearts. We dedicate this organ to you, O God, to honor and remember all who have gone before us in the faith and fellowship of this church. We dedicate our worship prayers to you, O Lord. To those worshipers who will follow us in song, praise, and faithful worship, we dedicate this organ to you, O God. In thanksgiving for the one who has blessed this place of worship with this gift, given in memory of loved ones and to the glory of God, we dedicate this organ to you, O God. And to the one eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one worthy of adoration and glory for now and forevermore, we dedicate ourselves to you, O Lord. Will you join me in prayer? Most gracious God, we do thank you for the love that you give to us and the many ways that you bless our lives. We thank you for the inspiration that you have given to the one who has donated this organ to our church to enhance our worship and to challenge us for further service in your world. We thank you for each one who will benefit from hearing, from playing, from singing, from worshiping, in part because of your grace through this instrument, but also your grace through our lives in so many other ways. We thank you. We ask now as we dedicate this organ to you, that you would bless each one who hears, each one who sings, each one who feels the strings of heart touched. And we ask that you will give grace and mercy not only to us, but to Evelyn Hooper each and every day. It's in your precious and holy name we pray and dedicate this to you. Amen.
and to try to have some little honor and reverence for this beautiful lady that gave this beautiful instrument to this church. And I want you to share with her that that is one of the most gracious, loving things she could have ever done, because for generations to come, many people will be inspired, they will be consoled when they're sad, they will be lifted in the spirit of high praise to our wonderful Lord. Amen. When you bring the deceased in here, you will comfort the families. On Sundays, when you need to lift the congregation in high praise of our Lord, I don't know of any better way you can do it. And have a precious organist like you have. And I really liked your pastor. When I spoke with him on the phone the other day, I thought, well, he better watch, because if we ever lose John Adams, we may have to get him. And then I could not begin to start without talking about Gloria and Jerry. And my time at North Greenville, it wasn't too many years back, but I think I made such a, not because of any skill that I had, because they told me at North Greenville, you'll never make it in music. You need to find something else to do with your life. I just spent 2 years having fun. And I don't know why people love me, because I was a mess. And Gloria knows that. She'll tell you the truth. I don't know how much Jerry knew about it. But anyway, I had a wonderful time. And Dr. Griffin says, now, I don't know why you're not bitter toward our friends, because they didn't allow you. But, you know, I knew God called me. North Greenville University, it was college then, a very small school. They had a limited amount of space and time that they could teach, and I had not had all the basic requirements. I was the daughter of a wonderful family. I had 8 brothers and sisters, and I have my youngest sister, Tamar Jones, with me today. My next-door neighbor is also here, Camille Martin, and that's such an honor to have them accompany, because that's rare. Now, Tama has, I'll tell you how special you are. You know, the last time, not only it might have not been the last time, but it's when I went to California to play Ronald Reagan's organ. No, it was when we went to San Francisco. But she's traveled extensively with me and got on planes when I go play in these places. And I played all over Europe, and she was there. But, so you see how high Piedmont ranks? She never goes to Columbia or Orangeburg or North Carolina. I was in Asheville last week, but she came to Piedmont. So that says a lot. But anyway, it's such a blessing to be here. You know, the organ has, St. Afranc said it best, the organ is an orchestra. And we sit at a king's banquet table. The congregation gets to partake of the manna that's here, because we love it so much and have so much passion. We want to impart that, and it's not a performance thing. If I can't do my part to lift the congregation to see our Lord in a more wonderful way, then I shouldn't be here. They don't need me. It's not a performance thing. So today, if I make boo-boos and I make errors, just know that my heart is trying to show you a Savior. Yes. I think it's interesting that your pastor mentioned Martin Luther, because the next piece, everything I play is my own arrangement. And the reason I do it, I know I'm not the best composer there is in the world. I'm way, way down the list. But Tamar can tell you, I am writing so much music. I have, and my next door neighbor, I really make an effort to be a good and loving and attentive wife to my husband, Talmadge. Because it says, I told the church in Greenville one night, when we go to heaven, it's going to be Talmadge that has the crown and not me, for living with me. And I try to make time for my grandchildren. But I write so much music. So I don't have time to practice the classics. I had to learn them. And I would sit and weep what little study and I got to do at Furman and at Bob Jones. And I know Dr. Gibson, the only student he ever had that cried at during a lesson was Carolyn. And Dr. Stahl at Bob Jones University said, you're the only student I have ever had that wept because you're so humbled to be learning how to play. I could already play, but I had not ever had any really serious training. So you can believe or my living room, and I am sobbing as I write this. Pieces. And Talmadge said, "Why are you crying?" I said, I don't feel worthy, but I've just seen into the heaven of heavens, the holiest place, to just write, to know what Charles Wesley and Isaac was, and their experiences and what they did. This next piece is that kind of piece to me. The night Desert Storm started, I came up from installing an organ at First Methodist Church in Hartwell, Georgia. And General Schwarzkopf was talking about the Scud missiles that were going. Now, the Second World War had been over when I was a teeny little thing, baby. And I didn't know about America being at war. And it was awesome to me. And I came home, and my husband was watching the TV, and I said, "Excuse me, but I've got to deal with this." And I go in my living room where my organ is and started arranging a mighty fortress. And it's our God. And you know, I didn't feel worthy to finish it because it's like Scripture. Sometimes it can't be improved on. It's already the spiritual icons are the people who wrote the original music, not how many curly cues I can put on it. That has nothing to do with the mighty fortress. And I knew that Martin Luther's thesis that he nailed to that door at Wittenberg, though we Baptists, many of us, say we're not part of the Reformation, just get over it, we are. And so whatever a lot of Southern Baptists think they are, I mean, I revere my heritage, but I see beyond that now, and thank goodness I can. But the next war, when the Desert Storm started, or the next one was called, I completed this piece. It was 10 years. I didn't feel worthy to touch it. But let me tell you what God led me to see in this. Martin Luther was a monk, and I'm sure he was being led to proclaim to the world that we could never do enough righteous deeds. We cannot visit all these people Steve talked about. We cannot take food every day and alms. We can't do enough good to earn our salvation. There's no way. It's God's grace that alone. So he was led to say that and to write it in a paper in his thesis. And you know what? I know that he probably was tempted not to do it because, he could have had his head chopped off because the Pope would not have liked what he was going to say. So I thought, how can I begin this? Because it's sort of like the beginning of the Messiah when Handel was going to make the forward movement. Yes, the Savior is coming to the world. And there in Dublin, it was presented the first time in this big, beautiful overture dome. Somehow it almost rivets the air. Well, I thought, somehow in my little Pickens County way, I've got to do something that lets you know that it's not just a bunch of notes on the paper. I want to preach what Martin Luther's life and his thesis did. So you hear this big, raucous introduction, "A mighty fortress is our God." Then you're going to hear these little chippy flutes. And I think that's when Martin Luther was in his, went back into his quarters and probably thought, you know, and that's just when he's meditating. And you know, I know Satan tempted our Lord. He tempted Martin Luther. So he's probably thinking, you know, I could have my head chopped off. And so you hear this minor movement, this angst between Satan trying to tempt him. You don't want to do this. And yet a mighty fortress trying to come through that. But at the end of that part, Martin Luther plants his feet firmly down and he says, "Yes, I will not this way. A mighty fortress is our God. I'm going to proclaim it if they chop my head off. And look." That's why this hymnody is so revered. And my entire life now is writing music. A lot of it original, but much of it is on the great hymns of faith. And this is the mighty fortress of our God.
Thank you.
sometimes it upsets me if we do it. But as you know, Gloria, all applause should go to our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's not what we do. Our very best is as filthy rags before the Lord. So any lifting we do should be this way. And I think sometimes we who do this kind of thing, it sort of feeds the human spirit, but that's not what it's for. It's much better to just bow on your knees and thank the Lord for the privilege of serving Him. I'm going to play a piece now that I wrote. It's an original piece instead of a hymn improvisation. And this one is in a new collection. I write books, a lot of books too, of collections of music. And then separate anthems. This one is in a new trumpet book that I was very honored to be put in that book. And it's a trumpet piece that I play for weddings. Right. my testimony or anything historical, theological. And I dedicated this to someone. I told Gloria yesterday, I'm going to dedicate one to her. And it's such an honor to write what God has done in my life. But you know those beautiful people in Africa, can you imagine what it was like when they were ripped from their babies and their families, and they were bound down in the bottom of those ships and never saw them again? They're going to South America at that time. And when John Newton was on that ship, and I can't remember if Thomas saw his epitaph, his grave there in Ireland, but anyway, he wrote his own epitaph. And he said, see, he was on this ship that was sinking. His dad was such a horrible man, and they were, those slaves that they had on there, they made them be slaves. The ship was sinking, and they thought they were losing their life. And John Newton's mom died when he was a little 7-year-old boy, but she had a little spiritual book that she taught him about. And if you think it doesn't matter that we teach children, it does. And all he could remember about turning his life to Christ, he did it. He knelt by his bunk, and as best he knew how, he said, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. So that on his epitaph, it says something about, here lies John Newton, once the purveyor of a slave of human bondage and now redeemed. And see, he walked off that ship and didn't know a lot about if he had been redeemed, but he knew he changed life. And look at the millions of people who have turned to the Lord. Now, I'm not a U.S. South Carolina fan, but at their ball games, they tell me that they even play Amazing Grace at the ball game. And when we're in Scotland, they would get there, but they'd kill some, and we'd still play Amazing Grace. And when the soldiers come back from the war, the bagpipers carry them to the grave with the Amazing Grace. So, and I just sit and weep when I read the stories. And another one after that is It Is Well With My Soul. And I cannot tell you how I relate to this one. Because Mr. Spafford had 4 little girls. We have 3. I cannot imagine losing all 3 at the same time. But Mrs. Spafford left before him all there in the Great Chicago Fire. Everything burned down, and he sent her to England to rest and to recoup and everything. And while on board, they had a shipwreck, and all little 4 daughters perished at sea. And on a subsequent trip, he went over to John Mrs. She wrote him back from Wales and said, "Stay alone," in her little white. And when he got his business straight up, all of Chicago was burned down, and he had stayed finished up. He told the steward, he said, "You wait a minute. When we get to that part of the ship, the ocean, where my little girls drowned, won't you come get me?" And historical accounts say he pinned it that day. Others say he got to Wales. But I like to think he walked in on the bow of that ship. And wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows flow, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And let's see, what did I put? Oh, then I'll tell you about the next one. And I'll think about the fried chicken. I have to look these up because I recompose them. I remake them up if I don't read them. Thank you. said, I don't play come Christians join the singing. Gloria told me and said, oh, I like that too. So it's for Gloria too and Jerry and their sweet daughter. But anyway, my final piece is a piece that I wrote because of my reverence for our military. As I travel, one of the sweetest blessings I have is to reach out to the military men who have had to, many times, not even seen their families in months and months, and I don't have time to tell you the stories. But there's a great price for the freedom that we have to worship today, to even meet as a body of believers and come in peace and know that we have young men who have volunteered to go and keep us safe. And this is the Navy hymn and the Marine hymn. And I've actually done concerts. One time, Sunday, I was at a church in Simpsonville, and a young man had just returned, and he was on leave, and he was going back, and, you know, had his crew cut and everything. And when the church was over, they were down speaking to me, and he reached through and said, can I just touch you? But he was just honored that I care. But a soldier with me, when I was coming back from a big appointment at a university, looked so tired, and I said, where are you coming from? And he said, Iraq, and I haven't seen my children in 18 months. And I said, I could get down on my knees in this plane and kiss your feet. And he looked so shocked at what I said. And I said, I mean every word of what I said. So I said, you know, when we get a flight, I think there's going to be room for me to move up another place because you look tired and I'm going to need your room to rest. And so I got up there and I got out my little business card, and you know how little they are, and my name and everything about me is on the front. But on the back, I practiced writing in my flight book, and I put, I thank you for serving our country. And he had not seen his little girls nor his wife in 3 years, 18 months. And I said, I trust and pray that you become a follower of Jesus so sometime I can see you in heaven again. And thank you again. And I signed it, John 3:16. I never asked them for their information. They just I said, if ever you need anything happening to you, and he's from Pittsburgh, I think, you get in touch with me and I'll see what I can do to help. That's the least I can do. So this is an honor. And I think the sweetest thing that I hear stories from this music. But one of our ships serving in the Mediterranean stood at attention recently, and the entire ship from the captain down to the least seaman stood at attention. I have a CD that I don't have any more of, but I had one then, and they played that CD and played Eternal Father's Song instead. Because there's a great price to pay for our freedom. And then that'll be my part. And as a poster, I'm going to play the one that Taylor likes the best, Come Christians Join the Sun. So you can go home and eat your fried chicken. Garber looks, but I got acquainted with Garber years ago. And I understand this is her home church. So did you ever produce a wonderful musician? I heard her sing magnificently Friday night at Greenwood First Baptist. And I'm in the music club and things, but I don't get to go much. I'm a bad member. She's closer to Tama. Tama gets to see her more than I do. But I'm so honored that she's here today, and I would be remiss if I didn't say that. What a blessing it has been to be in your church today.
Carolyn, thank you so very, very much for sharing this wonderful gift that you have and with this wonderful instrument. Thank you all again for being here and bringing Evelyn's spirit along with you. And we do thank Evelyn. I would invite you to take a hymnal and turn to hymn number 389 as we sing together, Spirit of the Living God. Truly, the Spirit has been present with us. May it continue to be so. Hymn number 389, Spirit of the Living God.